some 14 generations there and gave his life on a cross. The blood ran down the cross. And because of the shedded blood of Jesus Christ, now the blood covers all of us. And when he looks at our imperfections, he doesn't see them anymore. God only sees the blood of Jesus that covers us from all unrighteousness. Put your hands together. Look at somebody and say, I believe everything will be all right. You have become the men who stand in the gap for the totality of our country now. You who pray earnestly have the gift that God gave the church, which is prayer. Prayer is the most powerful and unique thing that the devil and people don't understand. How can a man or a woman go through the trials and tests that they do go through and still yet have a smile on their face and want to say something good about someone else other than themselves? Something happened before we go here. Something happened, and the man of God, he touches that. Jim George touches that in many ways. And so I need to take the book of the book and read from the book. How many folk know that the Bible is a living thing? The Bible will breathe. It will inform you. And I was listening to what Brother George said in this word, and I was thinking about, wow, what I'm about to read to you is in 1 Samuel. They tell me there in the 1 Samuel and in the 8th chapter, 1 Samuel in the 8th chapter, this is before Israel had kings. You see, God picked a family out. And when he picked this family out, they wasn't perfect. The Hebrews were not perfect. But God wanted to have, Brother David, he wanted to have people that we all could look in on. Yes, in many ways they were dysfunctional. Yes, in many ways they disobeyed. Yes, in many ways they failed even God. But there's one thing that they did not forget. And there's one thing that you all who are sitting here have not forgotten. When your faith is tried, it seems like the men I'm looking around at, they begin to pray earnestly to a God who really cares. And so, as kings came and kings gone, I find here in Samuel that they wanted to reject God's leadership. It's a sad thing when a nation rejects God's leadership. These words that I'm about to read to you are some of the saddest words in the whole totality of the Bible. It says that Samuel's sons, who were judges over Israel, did not follow in the ways of God. Now, the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, had been penned by Moses. And that they had seen already every king that would come knew what God required of the nation. But they most oftentimes override what the Lord had said to them. You remember Joshua and Caleb? Joshua and Caleb said, "We can take those giants." Every king afterward read that. When you see what the man of God is saying in this book, you will find that David, like all the other Israelites, knew the history of their nation. And if you know the history of a thing, you can really, really know who you are in the scheme of things. Joshua, Caleb said, "We can take the land." And the nation said, "They'd be giants over there. And we look like little grasshoppers." Look at somebody and say, "He's in the book." And so, to that 40 years of wandering around until that whole generation who was faithless had passed on, Moses was about to pass on, and he couldn't cross over in the promised land. And the thing that we need to know about the promised land is that the dimensions were set out in the gospel, in the word of God, where their land was and how far it went, and went all the way out to the coast. And they know today, and even their half-brother who had the same father, Ishmael's clan, when Abraham died, they came together at his funeral. It's all about family, men of God. Our blood runs red. We are truly made in the likeness of image of God. And when we get to a place where God can really see us, he will reveal things to us that we had not known or seen before. Jim George uses this Bible and he weaves through 1st and 2nd Samuel, and he weaves through 1st and 2nd Kings, and he comes to the Hebrew or to the Christian scriptures in the New Testament, and he begins to pull things out and let us see them real clear. David, little fella, taking care of the sheep, was anointed of God. And when you are anointed of God, can't nobody stop you from fulfilling the call that God has made on your life. Put your hands together and bless him. So we find here in the scripture, in the 6th verse of the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, the thing hurt Samuel so bad. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. What I'm about to read to you is the saddest words in the whole Bible. Samuel was upset, not just with his family, his two boys, but he was upset with the elders who wanted to have a king like the rest of the country, like all the other countries. And these are the words that broke my heart. In the study of this, it's life, I declare. Verse number 7 of the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, it reads like this. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. They rejected the counsel of God for the counsel of a man. They left God out. And David, later on, understanding the first five books and all the kings after him and all the people after them, recognized that we can't do too much without the Lord. We can't go too far without God being glorified in these vessels of clay. If there's ever a time that we need to remember that we need God in our lives, today, gentlemen, is that day. They rejected not you, Samuel, but they rejected me, which is God. They rejected God and his counsel. And so God tells him, they want a king. Give them a king. They don't love me no more. Give them a king. They don't want judges over us anymore. Give them a king. It says that the king would take, Lord have mercy, that the king would take the sons and make them warriors, take their daughters and work them in the kitchen. And I understand what all happened to the sisters there, but the most important thing that we must realize and recognize is that God's counsel is much, much, much better than man's counsel. Can I get a witness here? Oh Lord, I feel your presence even right now. Become a man. You become a man who impacts your family. You become a man who becomes a life example for your family. Letting others see God, not only in your words, but to see God in your actions. As I look around this room, and I know some of the tests and trials I've seen some of you go through, but I've seen men of integrity who walked upright before the Lord all the days of their lives. And these men who are sitting here today at these tables have become men who you can trust. They have become men who God can trust. He can trust you to get the job done. People who traveled to Houston, oh my God, Texas. They were men from Kokomo, Indiana, and Logansport, and all regions, east, west, north, and south. They were from everywhere, and they didn't ask for nobody to give them nothing but asked for prayer. And I got to tell you something about this thing. There is a five-letter word and a four-letter word that needs to be on your lips all the time. A five-letter word and a four-letter word ought to come out of your mouth in your actions, ought to come out of your mouth when you're speaking to those who work with you. That five-letter word, Lord have mercy, four-letter word is love. Second word is agape. Reverse it if you choose to and say agape love. Ought to always come out of the vessels that are full of God's Holy Ghost. Agape love. What is agape love? Agape love is acts of kindness without looking for anything back in return. I'm giving you this agape love, not that I have a hidden agenda, but I'm giving you this agape love because I really, truly love you. Agape love is what the world needs today. Our brother, Jim George, they tell me he's a bestseller and he's an author of The Husband After God's Own Heart. He's written a book called The Bare Bones Bible Handbook. He has ministry divinity behind his name. He has theologian, he has a master's degree from Talbot Theological Seminary. And he has served in pastor's roles as a facilitator to the master's program. This man is all in. If you know me, you know that it's okay to read these books and to glean from them. But I'm not after the author or the book. I'm after the Holy Ghost move of God on this man's heart, that he had the ability by reason of Jesus to pen this book. This book here will help us understand church folk. Church folk, sometimes they are cantankerous. Sometimes they are up, and sometimes church folk are down. But see, when you build relationships with people of God, you have tried them, you have worked with them on different occasions, you know what's in them, and this man tells us, if you're working with folk that do a good job, disregard their background, their denomination, their organization, if you can see Jesus, my God, if you can see Jesus Christ working in their life, and every time you ask him, let us go, and they said, I got my bag packed, and I'm ready to go. You have tried these men, you have tried these women, and you have found them to be just what they said. You can trust them. But church folk, expressly he says, the wheat and the tare grow together. Don't you try to separate them. Because the day that you put your mouth on a brother would be possibly the day he repents. What we're supposed to do is reciprocate, bring them back, love on them, and if they're being hurt or broken, you pick them up and you tell them, son, you can make it. Don't throw away nobody. Embrace broken people. And you can pour down in them because Jesus said that you now have the power. That you can use my name. and pray over them, and something will happen in their favor because you took time out to love them when they were hurting. Folk need to see us when we're hurting and love folk back. Anybody love the broken, the disenfranchised? Does anybody have, amen, compassion? Do we give back? Was there ever a day that you needed somebody to have compassion on you? Well, in the church, we have all kinds of folks that are sitting on the pew. They are at different levels of growth, and God expects us to have agape love attitude toward them. Not to pick up their past and what they used to do. It's behind them. They have a bright future in the Lord. Well, those of you in the room that are married, Brother George, amen, has something for you as well. He expressly says in the Bible, he uses the word of God and tells us, if you are in the way of a woman that is angry, if you get in the way of a woman that's angry, she doesn't hear you when she's angry. You might even be right in expressing to her, darling, honey, she don't hear you. For the Bible expressly says it is best for a man to go to the rooftop of a house than to stand in the way of a grievous woman. I don't endorse many books, but Huddle Board has stretched us. They have put up with us. And so they trust the pastors to make a decision on what is best for the next semester. As a whole, the next semester, they are speaking expressly about the life of David and all different kind of situations and goodies that's in this book that time will not allow me to say. Oh, Lord. He even lets us to understand that children that are born that call you daddy, they are gifts. And you only have so many years to watch over them. In this book, he tells us how, listen, not to mold their mind, but to mold their heart. For if you can touch their hearts, they'll never forget Jesus Christ. And long after you go, they'll say, I remember Pawpaw, Patpaw, Pappy. I can remember him telling me that Jesus Christ will never leave me nor forsake me, but he'd be with me even till the end of the world. Amen. Table leaders, God is setting us up this semester. He's setting us up to love each other. He's setting us up to recognize the fact that all around us can be turmoil, but we can have peace. The fifth chapter and the first verse of Romans, the fifth chapter and the first verse of Romans says it like this. We are now justified by faith and have peace with God.
How'd you get it?
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us to pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you for this huddle board, the heartbeat and the pulse that you've given them through our brother, Jim Jacobs. To these men who took time out in their day to come to huddle, I pray a blessing be applied to their home, to their wives, to their children, to that young man that may be in the room that wants to know that if this God is real, a resounding yes, God is real. What I saw in the book that Jim George posted, Lord, he made an altar call. They got my attention. Let me know that he wasn't trying to sell a book, but he was giving out agape love to somebody that might pray a venture to read this book. God, keep these men this semester. Keep them focused. Lord, there's a lot of sideshows going on, but keep these men focused on you. Because really and truly, they have become the salt of the earth. And they have in their vessels the power. Let them to know that their bodies are the bodies in the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, I love you. And I love these people. The thing I love about them is if you love them, they'll love you back. Thank you, Lord, for the YMCA. Thank you, Lord, for the vision that you gave Brother David, the vision you gave, oh God, his brothers and his sisters that work with him. Thank you for the leadership that is here now at the YMCA that's doing a matchless, marvelous job. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, remembering those who are sick, shut in, those who are homeless, those who are bracing themselves for another round of hurricanes. Thank you, Lord, for the first responders. Thank you, Lord, for the fire department, the police department. Thank you, Lord, for all those who work. In Jesus' name I pray, as the tables catch on fire with the word of God. And someone said,